to the Naked Tarot Podcast with your host, Janet Boyer. Get ready to strip down with the most provocative voice in tarot.
Hello, and welcome to the Naked Tarot Podcast. I'm your host, Janet Boyer, otherwise known as the Tarot Maven. I'm the author of Back in Time Tarot, Tarot in Reverse, and the upcoming Naked Tarot, Sassy Strip Down Advice. With my artist husband, Ron Boyer, I am also the co-creator of the Snowland Deck and the Coffee Tarot. I invite you to visit my website, janetboyer.com, where you can find out all about my books, order a tarot reading, get our decks, read hundreds of reviews, and other goodies. Today, I'm going to be talking about using tarot as a crutch, spiritual codependence. I was talking to my friend, Angie Turner, on Facebook this morning. Hi, Angie. And was asking some people in the Coffee Tarot secret Facebook group what topics they might want to hear on the podcast. And she ended up spurring two of them. And after this one, I'm going to be doing one called Stop the Tarot Hate. So two controversial podcasts brought to you by Janet. Okay. Now, what am I talking about when I say using tarot as a crutch? Well, one thing that Angie noted is that a lot of the tarot groups she belongs to, people are consulting the tarot for every little decision. And Moon Daisy Lamoureux, hi Moon Daisy, chimed in that she had a friend who was actually, you know, praying about whether or not to go to the grocery store. This is just crazy, you know, consulting the cards about whether to go shopping or whether to wear a blue shirt, whether to make spaghetti for dinner. In my opinion, that's a misuse of tarot. It's an attempt to control your environment, and it's based on fear. Now, I understand that we live in uncertain times, and it's rife with divisiveness and conflict. It's human nature to want to try to control some things, especially during times of upheaval, because we want to give ourselves a sense of certainty. But all this does, this consulting, you know, your tarot deck, your oracle deck, your Lenormand deck, before every minor decision, is make you spiritually codependent. You end up limiting your options, not expanding them. And also, you end up narrowing your focus, not increasing it. Fear constricts intuition, and sometimes it strangles it. And this could lead to an inaccurate assessments and assumptions based on the cards that you've drawn. And you then begin to build a psychic house based on fear. And, you know, the tower gets struck by lightning, and there's often an aha moment because of these psychic structures that we build up that are on the shaky foundation of fear. Anything built on fear does not last. It can be blown down by fear of what other people think, or the news of the day, or reactions you get from people, or your reactions to things that you witness. And that is one of the meanings of the Tower card when the lightning strikes. It illuminates any shaky foundations and any cracks in the support system of your, quote, house. And so I think it's really important, especially if you read for other people, and doubly especially if you charge money for it. I think it's extremely important that you're reading and operating out of a sense of contentment or peace or centeredness and groundedness. And if you have fallen into the practice of feeling the need to consult the cards for every little decision, then, you know, I encourage you to evaluate what you're doing and to examine just how much steeped in fear you probably are in. Because the facts of the matter is, you know, I do believe that tarot can help forewarn us, and, you know, and so it can arm us to help better deal with things. But I find that that's usually almost is in a general weather forecast type of way, not in a micromanagement type of way. So, for example, if you're planning on going on an outing with a family, or you were thinking about having an outdoor picnic and you're, you know, wanting to debate between 3 days, well, of course, you would probably consult the weather forecast to find out what would be the most favorable day, because who, you know, you're scheduling a baseball game, who wants to go playing in the rain, right? And so I think tarot is best suited for those kind of things, kind of, you know, what's the weather? You know, how's the winds blowing? Because so much can change even within the weather. I mean, there, Alexa, for example, I ask her what the weather is, and she is wrong half the time. I just activated Alexa in the other room by saying her name. Oh, that's always funny. But anyway, you know, even that is not always correct. But we do to just kind of get, you know, a sense of how the wind's blowing. You know, if there's rain in the forecast, what the percentage is. And so we can make an informed decision. And I think tarot is best used that way. Of course, I am not of the fortune-telling type of reader. I very much frown on fortune-telling. I think it's just quick fixes and trying to get things handed to you or trying to control every little thing. And even then, I don't think tarot is the most accurate for fortune-telling type of reasons. And I think it's even more insidious when we try to predict or peek into what other people are thinking. Then that gets into spiritual voyeurism, which I feel is a big no-no as well. That's just me and my ethics, you know. So anyway, I really think, you know, this drawing tarot cards for every little thing makes us codependent on the deck. I mean, if we can't make any decisions, minor ones, without consulting the cards, I mean, what does that say about our self-esteem? What does it say about our groundedness, you know, as tarot readers, and the balance we may or may not have? And I just think it's something that's really important to examine. When I was a Pentecostal minister, and actually much before that, I grew up in a Assemblies of God Pentecostal church. And you may or may not know that in Pentecostalism, they believe in the gifts of the Spirit, including, you know, miracles and healing, but also in things called word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and prophecy. And when I went through an especially fearful time after I left college, you know, it was, I would go to these evangelist meetings, even as a minister, and just pray and hope that he would look my way and give me a quote word. And most of the time, what I was looking for, I wasn't looking for, you know, a word to tell me you're going to get rich someday or any of that kind of materialistic stuff. I was looking for validation. I wanted to feel like I was seen by God, that I mattered, that I had a sense of purpose. And, you know, it got to the point where, you know, there was a type of dependence on that. And so when I had a crisis of faith later, years later, you know, it really threw a monkey wrench into questioning my psychic abilities, which I've had since I was little, because I figured, well, if I can't trust the quote words of others, how can I trust what I'm hearing is of God or is accurate or helpful? And so it can really cause a lot of cognitive and spiritual dissonance when you become too reliant on external validation for your own intuition or external validation for anything, even your purpose in life. It's important that you create your own sense of purpose, that you make life mean, you know, according to you. And so, you know, I have seen lives that have been shipwrecked, you know, especially in the Pentecostal realm, when a popular minister has fallen, like, you know, Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart and things like that, you know, because people put them up on pedestals. And when they end up falling because of personal failures, you know, it really shakes people's foundation. And again, it becomes a tower moment. And with a tower moment, you can either experience complete and utter devastation, or you can use the lightning bolt to illuminate your way, you know, to a more authentic, grounded life. And you know, it's just, it's sad. I mean, I knew an individual who married a minister only because somebody prophesied to her that she was going to marry a minister. And she was in an unhappy marriage for 18 years to this minister, who had been verbally abusive, deceitful. He engaged in cyber sex, you know, and then he ended up abandoning his family. And, you know, even when my first husband, you know, was diagnosed with leukemia, you know, there were, for those who didn't abandon us, our colleagues and our Pentecostal friends, because they didn't know what to do with the situation, you know, we'd get words that he was going to be healed someday. And of course we hung on to that. Because, who, you know, when you're young, you know, 25, and you're giving your life to God, and you're doing good works, and you're doing things like feeding the homeless in the Philadelphia subways, you know, with, you know, smells of piss and dirt around you, I mean, you know, you feel like that that somehow would make you exempt from hard times, which I found is totally bullshit. That when bad things happen, it doesn't necessarily mean karma. And when good things happen, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a reward for your behavior. We will only know that actual tally when we get on the other side, I believe. So that's why we can't really judge experiences always, or especially those of others, and to assume, you know, there's some kind of karma, or somebody did something wrong, or there's some kind of flaw in their belief system. You know, I love to go back to the Bible, the mystical aspects, not the dogmatic, literalistic aspects. You know, there's like a scripture in Hebrews 12:27 that says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I always see that as connected to the tower, that if you have anything on a shaky foundation where you don't truly believe, you know, what you think you believe, that those things get shaken at times of uncertainty. And sometimes it can, you know, cause someone to enter, you know, a dark night of the soul as well. So, you know, this podcast is basically to try to encourage you if you are, you know, using the tarot as a crutch, please examine why you're doing that. You know, you don't need to consult the tarot about what color shirt you're going to wear for the day, or minor decisions of whether to do the dishes. I mean, practicality says, if you got dirty dishes in the sink, by God, you do them. Or you ask your kids to do them. You know what I'm saying? And we are created, I believe, to be autonomous, independent creatures. And part of self-actualization is, you know, a nod to Abraham Maslow's, you know, pyramid of self-actualization, is to be able to be self-reliant and to make decisions on our own and to be responsible for them. And I think that's why sometimes too that people consult the tarot so much, because if something goes wrong, they want to blame something. And it may not be a conscious belief. You know, I think it might sometimes just be an underlying subconscious belief where, again, it's, you know, motivated by fear, a fear of taking responsibility for our decisions and what happens. And so if we base decisions on the tarot or a word or a prophecy or even a sacred text, then when shit hits the fan, we can blame that instead of our own decision. But ultimately, we're still following that. It's still us. We can choose not to heed advice. There's many times I have not heeded tarot's advice because I don't feel tarot is this crystal ball given to us by God to dictate our life. I feel that tarot is an options generator. And what it does, it helps us determine how we really feel about something. Because let's say you're debating between two or three restaurants, okay? And you get a card that looks unfavorable for the restaurant that you deep down wanted to go to, then of course you're going to feel disappointed, like, oh shit, you know, I wish that card wasn't there. Well, boom, you know, the tarot has done you a favor because it has uncovered what your true preferences are. And when we get so bombarded by so much information through the internet or news or TV yammering at us, which we don't, not here in my house, but most people do, you can sometimes not even be able to hear your own preferences. And that's sad. You know, that is sad that so many people are afraid to be alone with themselves. And when you're alone with yourselves, that is when you can truly hear your intuition. But it is also when you are faced with any demons that might be there, or any psychic challenges or emotional challenges that you really need to confront. You know, there was this study amongst college kids. A psychology professor did this study and found that teenagers and young adults would rather have electrical shocks administered to them in a room than to just be left in a room by themselves with no books or no stimulation, just themselves. And that's kind of sad and scary that people cannot even just sit in a room with nothing and be fine by themselves to just daydream or meditate or relax. But no, they would rather actually have electrical stimulation than to be in a room with no stimulation. And I think a lot of that is trying to avoid the inner turmoil. And so, you know, I really think it's important that we know what's going on with us and know what's going on inside. And tarot is really good for that. But I think it's kind of a more of a sneaky tool than a prediction tool. It's more of a tool that says, okay, I will show you subconsciously how you're feeling. And the way I'll do that is I will provoke a reaction in you. And that reaction itself, whether you're pleased to see a card, you're afraid of a card, or you dread a card, it actually will give you a little bit of a soul GPS to tell you where you're at. So it's kind of like a backdoor way of the universe giving you information. So, you know, the tarot is really cool in that regard. But I really think that if you're getting up and you feel like that you need to grab your cards just to start the day, or that you even need to have your deck under your pillow at night for certain dreams, I don't know. You know, I don't want to be judgmental, but I really think that that is a type of spiritual codependence. And perhaps you are avoiding confronting something. You know, and then, you know, even when the cards do give you information, there is a, you know, psychological term called confirmation bias, that if we have already assumed something about a situation or a person, that we will look for things to confirm that, even if it's largely not true, but we've been told it, we believe it, and so we'll look for any little clue to confirm that bias, despite perhaps the overwhelming evidence that it's not true. And we'll totally discount that because it goes against our beliefs. So I really love tarot as a psychological tool for uncovering how we really feel, our preferences, our beliefs. And I really think that it is a poor substitute for self-reliance, self-understanding, and making your own way in the world with your own decisions. Of course, tarot can inform those decisions. Like I said, I think it's a great optimism, you know, an option generator, and it helps with optimism and feeling a sense of, you know, that we can take life into our own hands. But I don't feel like the cards themselves dictate, you know, how the day is going to go and how it should go. And I think that the more you consult the cards, the more enslaved you become. And then we end up into a devil situation where we are chained to a pack of cards, you know. And so this podcast is to just encourage you to ask yourself if you're using tarot as a crutch, or if you're truly using it for self-illumination, because we can use the cards as an excuse not to really look at what is going on and not to be alone with ourselves, and to examine if there are perhaps some kind of spiritual codependence going on, you know, and if there's underlying fears. And I know, again, that these are uncertain, divisive times. And hey, if you're going to go to something for comfort, better than a deck of cards than a bottle of alcohol or drugs, right? But for those of you that really want to go deeper in your spirituality and become more self-actualized psychologically, I really think that it would be beneficial for you to ask those kind of questions. You know, am I using tarot as a crutch? Am I trying to control my circumstances with tarot? Am I trying to micromanage things because of fear? And then, you know, just journal and ask yourself those questions and be honest with them. And if you ever want to write to me and bounce things off of me and ask my opinion, I'll be so glad to answer you. You can email me through my website, janetboyer.com. I'll be glad to answer your question. Just say, you know, heard the podcast, and you know, ask my two cents. I've always been available for over a decade. Anybody ever asks me any question about tarot, I answer them. I always have time for people who ask sincere and honest questions. So, or if you see me on Facebook, you know, hit me up through my Tarot Maven Facebook page or what have you, and I'll be glad to answer your question, or you can, you know, vent or share your experience, okay? So, this is Janet Boyer of the Naked Tarot Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this treatment of spiritual codependence, and thanks to my pal Angie Turner, love you girl, who spurred the idea on Facebook, and she's also spurred the idea for the next podcast, which is Stop the Tarot Hate. So take care, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.